Lucky Land Casino.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
DSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Welcome back into the program. It is hour number two here on Thursday. Coming up in the next hour, we'll be talking with Dr. Sabina Stanley about her book, What's Hidden Inside Planets? Very fascinating book where it looks into not only what causes life to happen on this planet and what hidden things can we find inside of our own planet, but also what might exist inside of other planets that could make them hospitable to life, whether it be life developing there or the ability for us to bring ourselves to that planet. So we'll talk about that with Dr. Sabina Stanley coming up in the next hour. Until then, we'll talk with you at 508-996-0500. I want to mention some of those stories that I said that we would get into. One is a follow-up to something that we had talked about earlier this week, that being those two deaths that happened over the weekend in Rhode Island correctional facilities. And we talked about how the president of the Rhode Island Brotherhood of Correctional Officers, Richard Ferruccio, had talked about some of these deaths may be attributed to this drug K2 that is being snuck into the correctional centers on paper, like literally on paper. That's the way they're getting it in, is it is attached to the paper. And that is causing overdoses inside. So that's one of the things that he brought up as a possibility. But now Channel 6 has the story, ABC6.com has the story where it is talking about how the Correctional Officers Union is calling for change and new leadership. So Ferruccio has this quote: until last year, I used to say it's the safest, best-run prison in the country, and I don't necessarily feel that way now. So he says changes that were made by Acting Director Wayne Salisbury are affecting the safety of correctional officers and inmates. Ferruccio said last week we had multiple fights. At one point, the intake service center went into a lockdown because there were three separate fights and three staff members got hurt. He also talks about how they've made changes to where they used to be able to put prisoners in solitary confinement for 30 days, for up to a year, but now they can only put them in for 30 days. And so that the inmates feel like there's no real consequences to their actions inside, so they're acting up more. And they also have staffing issues, so that's also led to problems. So here we have, you know, these two deaths that occurred. Now the Correctional Officers Union is asking for a change in leadership, or at least a change in some of these policies. So that's a little bit deeper of an issue than what the Department of Corrections told us in that statement, where they talked about how, hey, people come in here with comorbidities and drug addictions and other things, and you know, we don't know what we're bringing in when we bring in these inmates. We don't know what situations they're in and what their health is. But now the Correctional Officers Union is saying, yeah, but it seems like it's a deeper problem than that. And then I had mentioned the stories about these animal incidents. And one of them is very strange. One of them is from the North Shore, Newburyport. One dog has died of a one dog has died and another is seriously ill after the dogs were with their owner in Newburyport's Mosley Woods last month. So the city of Newburyport and Animal Control put out a statement saying, "This weekend we learned that two dogs who had been walking with their owner in Mosley Woods became very ill, and one died on Sunday. The reasons that the dog fell ill is not known." This is according to WCVB. "Officials are working with the dog's owner and veterinarian." And this is what the statement says. "At this time, we cannot confirm definitively that the incident occurred within Mosley Woods, in the surrounding area, or somewhere else. We have no reason to believe that anything was done to intentionally poison these dogs. We have inspected the woods and have not found anything that is a current threat or source of alarm. We want to reassure the community that to the best of our knowledge, there is currently no identified risk posed intentionally to dogs in this area." Which, as a journalist, I look at this and I say, what do the woods have to do with it then? Why are you causing panic for people who have brought their dogs to the woods if the woods don't factor into this? The only thing I can think of, and it's not addressed in the story, and if it is part of the reasoning for doing that, they should mention this, is that there might be rumors going around. There might be rumors going around that there's something in the woods or that somebody's poisoning dogs in the woods. But it seems to imply that people might be thinking that, but it doesn't directly state that that has been a concern. So on the surface, the way that it's written, it just sounds odd. And this was written by Veronica Haynes, who is a seasoned veteran journalist. This is not something that is, you know, haphazardly thrown together by an intern. So there's got to be more to the story here to make them even mention the woods to begin with. A dog owner was walking with his dogs in the woods. One of the dogs died. One of the dogs is really sick. But we don't think it has anything to do with the woods. Okay, so then that's what we would call not relevant information. If it is relevant information, you have to explain why it's relevant. Because it could be something that he fed the dogs. They could have gotten into something in his home. It could have been some sort of illness that the dogs caught. There's a lot of other possibilities there besides having to mention the woods. So I think we need a little bit more information on that. And then this other very strange story that Barrington Beach in Barrington, Rhode Island has now been the location where three dogs have washed ashore over the past month. The most recent was on Monday. RISPCA Special Agent Earl Newman told WPRI, "This is the first case that I've dealt with where several dogs have washed up on a beach." I mean, have you dealt with a case where a dog has washed up on a beach? Because even that's concerning. But now we have three dogs that have washed up on the beach within a month. And they don't even know what breeds these dogs are because they're so badly decomposed by the time they wash ashore. So they have to send these dogs out for a necropsy to see if they can find out more information. This is also something that I found a little bit concerning. The other two dogs were found washed ashore on the same beach earlier this month. Newman said the RISPCA became involved in the investigation after the third dog was found. It took three dogs washing up on the shore for the RISPCA to say, well, maybe we should look into this. So that's the threshold, apparently, for dogs washing up ashore on the beach, is three. No need to be concerned after the first one. The second one could be a coincidence. Third one, maybe something's going on here. And it says here in the story, it's unclear whether the dog's deaths are connected at this time. I'm going to guess yes. I'm going to assume that they are connected. So, it took three for the RASPCA to get involved. They didn't think that it was worth investigating after one. And, you know, and maybe it's not. But certainly after two, within a month, and now a third, maybe if they'd started investigating after the first two, maybe the third wouldn't have happened. Maybe if there had been, you know, more media coverage about an investigation, whoever's doing this wouldn't have tried to do it a third time. Assuming that somebody's doing it. I can't imagine a scenario where this isn't intentional and where these aren't connected, but stranger things have happened. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
What's shaking, Playboy?
What's happening?
Okay, so about the dog thing, you know, since that you guys just had that storm, right? The snow and stuff came out of nowhere. Even though you should still be having snow, you should still have snow and things in the vicinity. Normally, years about this time of year, right?
Still, well, yeah. I mean, in that area, it was rain. We had a rainstorm that came through.
And was that kind of a strange rainstorm that came through? Unusual, if you think about it now, since I brought it up. Something strange about it?
No, kind of our usual spring nor'easters.
Well, I know that it seemed like a lot of the rain has been like that sticky rain. Like, you know, when you get that coming from up there at the chemtrails, whatnot, sticky rain on the windshields and whatnot. But I'm thinking that could be with the animals, or maybe how they had that stuff that came down, looks like a gel that had that evaporated eventually. Animals and people got sick from that out here on the West Coast, you remember, a while back. So, all right, now let me tell you my sleep studies experience.
Okay.
Okay, when I went there, I was like, oh, you know, I'm all jovial and whatnot. And I said, so do you have patients come there and say, like, oh, make sure something doesn't happen to me. Because I'm worried about you aliens coming and abducting me. And the lady got scared. She shook me. She said, she don't say that. Don't say that loud like that. And she said that to me. And I was like, okay. She literally grabbed me and shook me and said, don't say that. We don't upset our cluster, our patients. And so there was a new girl that started working there. This was like, she said, this was her third day there. And so, okay, they took me into the room and set me up and whatnot. And I had a camera, my cell phone. I took and turned it on and set it up there. And so, literally, almost like within 2 minutes after the door closed, I felt something. I felt the room going dark. Now, mind you, they've got the night vision cameras on you while you're sleeping there. And so, but I felt it go dark. And then all of a sudden, I kept hearing something coming towards me. It was going, oh, like that. And as it was getting ready, as it was coming towards me, I said, give me the strength. Now, mind you, when this happened, I started grabbing for my feet, trying to pull me from the end of the bed. And so it got closer to my ear. It seemed like it was like maybe a foot away. It got that close. And then it went like that. And all of a sudden, as my foot was being drugged, all of a sudden, and I said, Lord Jehovah, I said that. And all of a sudden, the lady opened up the door and the lights came inside. From the outside the hallway and stuff like that. They were watching this. Is you okay? And that girl who started working, her eyes were like wide open. She was like looking around. And I said, did you guys see it? They said, are you all right? And she walked in. And I said, did you see that? And she said, oh, we saw something. Just go ahead and go back to sleep. Go lay back down. And so then I literally went back and then I prayed. I'd been praying beforehand, you know, but like I usually would do. But I said my grace. So what happened when I was dreaming at that point, I had my baby daughter's, her aunt had just died like maybe 12, like 14 months prior to. And I went to school with her in kindergarten to like third grade, way before I met her mother and whatnot, but with her aunt. So anyways, so what happened, her aunt came to me in the dream. She said, tell Sabrina that her son's coming, is going to come joining me soon. She said, not long, tell her. And literally, Sabrina's my baby daughter's mother who just passed away a little bit ago. And so I said, okay. And so she came to me, and then after that happened, I went back to sleep. I slept like a baby, and I woke up, and then everything was over. Then I went home. And then so I saw her that Monday, and I told her what happened. I said, your son's coming. And literally, that was in February. And literally, just at the beginning of March, her son was killed.
Wow.
And it was like, and it's like, it was her youngest son, too. And it's like, my daughter is her youngest child, period. But yeah, that was sad. And he was a nice kid, too. And it's like, and so there's a guy that this kid, 25-year-old kid, died after sleep studies thing. Did you remember that back in, I'm going to say like 2012, when Nancy Grace was still on there? And they had a thing, they showed a bit of a video of him. And when he woke up, he said, oh, I don't want to lay back down. He didn't want to lay back down. He stood on the side of the bed. He didn't want to lay back down. That stuff happens, you know. And it's like, I tell people, be careful when you go there. Make sure you pray. Like I said, when that happened, that kid died from that. He had a heart attack. And they didn't sit in. But I called, I sent messages for Nancy Grace and them people to get in touch with the parents. I didn't, never heard from them. So
no.
That was sad. And I got a video of something on my camera. It's so bad. And it was at nighttime, but it was like, you could see that how darkness literally went right across the room. And it was like, when the lady opened up the door, you see the light, everything. It was so bright. And like I said, I tell you, this many times I've called upon the Lord, and if it wasn't because of him, I wouldn't be here today. And like I said, that was a perfect example. I mean, when it spread, everything, you see it all, everything runs to the corners. Disappears. I'm talking about the darkness, the shadows, all that ran to the corners. And that's something terrifying. So that, like you said, that kid died, and I don't know what happened with him, because I know the parents are trying, they said it was safe, there's no reason for that to happen. But I know what happened. And plus, we're talking about people being in jail for like a solitary confinement. You know that's one thing that the easiest place for the devil to get a hold of people is when they're down to the very bottom. And that's where people go to jail or go to prison, and they go to mental places and have demonic things attack them, and they give them permission to join them. That's where stuff happens.
Well,
a lot of people don't realize.
Could be.
That's why people go crazy in solitary confinement, you know?
I imagine, yeah, I can imagine that's a situation of despair. I do got to hold you there, Lamone. I got to take a break here so that I don't run out of time before the news, but thank you for sharing with us.
All right. I was on a roll. Too bad it wasn't a sourdough.
That's okay. What you need. You just need your own podcast, Lamone. People would tune into the Lamone podcast.
They would. These are very smart and beautiful people, too.
All right. That's
New Bedford got going on and have.
All right. Well, have a good day.
Stay light.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Good.
And welcome back in. We are going to be going into the newsroom with Phil in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, we will take more of your calls, 508-996-0500. You can also send app chat messages, and you can send audio via the WBSM app using the open line feature there. And we'll talk with you some more about some other things, including I got a question about ghost tours that I'll address when we come back as well. But right now, let's throw it to Phil with all the news.
The Kennedy family making an endorsement today, and not for RFK. A 19th century Arizona abortion law remains in place. And how about paying $275 million?
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden is expected to receive an endorsement for re-election from members of the Kennedy family today. The announcement comes as a rebuff of Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s independent run for the White House. Many in his family have broken with him politically over his views. Former President Trump's criminal trial in New York resumes with another day of jury selection. As of now, 7 jurors have been chosen. A panel of 12, along with 6 alternates, must ultimately be selected. Trump stands accused of falsifying business records in order to cover up payments allegedly made to an adult film star just prior to the 2016 election. Arizona's near total abortion ban is still law. The Civil War era law outlaws the procedure except to save the life of the woman and threatens providers with prison sentences between 2 and 5 years. Governor Katie Hobbs says Republicans are standing in the way of what even many of them feel is right.
from my position, it looks like they're just playing political games with women's lives in Arizona. And it is beyond unfortunate.
The state's House failed to repeal the law on Wednesday following attempts by Democratic lawmakers to do so. At the moment, the earliest the ban could be enforced is early June. President Biden has said he plans to make abortion a focal point of his campaign. The U.S. Supreme Court is rejecting an appeal by MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell over the seizure of his cell phone. Tammy Trujillo reports.
The High Court rejected Lindell's request for a hearing without comment on Monday. Lindell was in a fast food drive-thru in Minnesota when FBI agents seized his phone in 2022. Lindell had claimed the government was retaliating against him for questioning the integrity of the 2020 presidential election. Investigators say the seizure was to determine if Lindell was sharing sensitive voting system information. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Attorneys for Idaho murder suspect Brian Koberger filed their client's alibi defense just ahead of the deadline. The 29-year-old Koberger is accused of fatally stabbing four University of Idaho students in November of 2022 and has pleaded not guilty. His attorneys say cell phone data will prove he was out for a drive when the murders happened. The popular weight loss drug Zepbound also appears to help with obstructive sleep apnea. That's according to drug maker Eli Lilly. The company said it plans to submit trial results to the USDA to possibly expand the drug's use. Obstructive sleep apnea causes people to stop breathing briefly while sleeping, preventing them from feeling fully rested. And it's been a rough week for many who got that huge bill from the IRS, but one of the wealthiest Texans didn't mind. Michael Kastner reports.
Mark Cuban took to social media to brag about paying $275 million in taxes. He said, "I pay what I owe," and added that he's proud to pay an income tax that he called patriotic. The owner of the Dallas Mavericks has a net worth of more than $5 billion and says his tax bill is almost all from capital gains. I'm Michael Kastner.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Red Sox snapped their two-game skid with a 2-0 win over the Cleveland Guardians at Fenway. Boston closing out the four-game series this afternoon. And the Stanley Cup playoffs in sight right around the corner. Bruins beginning the postseason when they host the Toronto Maple Leafs for Game 1 Saturday night at TD Garden.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Be sure to take your rain gear or get it ready this morning as you head out the door. An umbrella will be perfect. The temperature in the mid-40s with that chance of shower. Breezy conditions as we head into the afternoon. Cloudy skies will prevail. Slight chance for showers. And the temperature on the cooler side, upper 40s overnight, lower 40s. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Cecil Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
PC in New Bedford, who sent an app chat message in yesterday saying, play more Bruce Hornsby. So there you go. Some more Bruce Hornsby. 508-996-0500. And speaking of app chat messages, I got one from DSY who said, does Fall River or Newport have ghost tours like Boston does? And the answer is, well, yes, kind of. So Newport has multiple ghost tours. So if you want to go and take a ghost tour, there's a variety of different ones that you can choose from there. And in Fall River, there is a tour that is not necessarily a ghost tour, but it is put on by U.S. Ghost Adventures, the company that owns the Lizzie Borden House. And it's more of a true crime tour type thing. And but there's, you know, there's some elements of the legends and lore of Fall River involved in that. So you can find out more about that on the U.S. Ghost Adventures website, too. So there are tours. And what's funny is I remember talking with a gentleman years ago. He's no longer with us. He and his mother own the Plymouth Colonial Lantern Tours. He passed away. But we were talking about how they could launch tours in cities all over or even towns all over if there was interest. That there seemed to be enough stories to warrant, even if you just said to somebody, hey, it's only a 20-minute walking tour with five stories, but you would charge them, you know, $5 as opposed to charging them 15 or 20 bucks for a 90-minute tour. So we were talking about that, and we were trying to come up with one for New Bedford. The problem is so many of the New Bedford locations are spread out, so it wasn't somewhere where you could actually walk from location to location. Now, all these years later, there's probably something that could be done, but he had a plan of, you know, wanting to come up with a formula that he didn't need to control them all, but he said, if we come up with this formula and we say, here's how you can do it in other towns, you know, towns could do it themselves because there are enough stories in a lot of places. But you've got to have people coming into those places that want to hear those stories. And Newport and Fall River but certainly have that type of tourism. So yes, and kind of is the answer to that question. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Yes, good morning.
How are you?
Pretty well. Yourself?
I'm doing all right. What's on your mind?
Well, years ago, I had a sleep apnea test because I worked extended hours. I worked off Cape, and I was armed at my position. And I was getting over, I'm saying, am I overtired or is something wrong? So they did a sleep test. And they said, okay, you're going to hear from the doctor. And they called and they said, you're going to have to come back for the sleep test again. I said, why? He said, well, the values of were way off. And he says, well, just can you repeat it? I had vacation time, so I took some time off. And I had the test again, and it wasn't the machine. Machine was recalibrated. It wasn't the machine, it was me. Mm. It was the worst case scenario the doctor has been practicing for 33 years that he's ever seen, ever. So they gave me the CPAP. I had the full mask one, which drove me crazy. And then it graduated to the one that's just like in a little oxygen thing, just in your nostrils. And I've been fine ever since. And it's a lifesaver for me. She said, you stop breathing so many times. We have to have it recalibrate. We thought we had to have the machine recalibrated, which we did. And it was just me. But that, I sleep with it all the time. And if I watch a movie in the afternoon or something where I might fall asleep, I just sit there. I just put it on. It doesn't bother you at all. It's got the, like you said, the long hose and just the little can of panels or whatever they fit in your nose, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll wear mine even to take a nap. If I just, if it's a Saturday afternoon, I'm going to take a little nap. I will go in there and I'll put it on. Doesn't bother me any. But it's funny because there's so many changes in our life that can affect what we need the calibration to be. So if you just happen to lose 5 pounds, then that could cause the calibration to need to be changed on your machine. And what's great now is these machines that they have now all connect onto your Wi-Fi, and the doctors can monitor them remotely, and they can make those kind of changes without even having to come to your house or have you come into the office.
Yeah, when I go into the hospital, I bring my own machine because it's already recalibrated in the system, so on and so forth. And, I disinfect it before I get in and disinfect it before I get when I take it home. And it's great. It changed my life. I worked long hours out towards the Boston area. I was armed I had the commute. I worked 12 hours a day and had an hour and something commute. And I did it because I had a disabled daughter, and the extra money enabled me to give her a much better quality of life, and, you know, before she passed. And that was, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world, but I knew that I couldn't do that job correctly because I was so tired.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my issue. Is I was definitely burning the candle at both ends, and I was getting worried about, you know, just not even my health, just so much my safety. You know, as I was dozing off behind the wheel driving to sports games, I was like, this isn't right. I got to do something about this. And I'm embarrassed to say that I didn't advocate for myself and speak up when I first went and brought this to the attention of my doctor. They ended up diagnosing me with ADD. And gave me, or ADHD, and they gave me medication for that. And it was, you know, over a year of me taking medication before I finally said, hey, you know what? I'd like to have a sleep test. I think it's probably that. So.
Yeah, well, with me, it was the alarm went off when I'm like, oh, hello, you're armed. You have to be, you know, right on 24/7. I sat there one day and I went, like I was going to fall asleep. I'm like, oh, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to do something. You can't do this job or quit this job, take care of the daughter full time, whatever. But they pay me really well, and the doctors took care of me wonderful, and it's been excellent ever since. No problem whatsoever. And I have had some horrendous surgeries where I've been put in a coma. And they still had the CPAP on me in the coma. So that was, there you go.
Wow. Well, I'm glad things are working out okay now, though.
They are. And it's don't be afraid of it. And it's Easy Beans, the new ones they have.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Yep. Bye.
And I will say, you know, one thing that I'm guilty of is when I would travel, I wouldn't bring my machine with me because it's a pain. To pack it up and bring it with you, at least the old machine I had. I got my first machine in 2005. Yes, 2005. And I had that machine until 2020. I never got it replaced, and it should have been replaced. And so when I did the sleep test again in 2020, because I changed insurances, and I was like, let me do a new test, so because they didn't have them. Some reason they didn't carry my diagnosis over and they made me do a new test. And that was when I did the home one and it was perfectly fine. And then they said, oh, so we need to calibrate your machine. What machine do you have? And I told them and they said, Oh, no, we're going to get you a new machine. They don't even make those anymore. They don't even make things for those anymore. Like, we're going to give you a new machine. They thought it was weird that they couldn't log into my machine and calibrate it remotely. And I was like, that's because it's this month. And they're like, no, we're going to get you a new one. And even now I went to the place a few months ago and they said, we're probably going to, you know, within the year, we're probably going to have that machine replaced with something a little bit more modern. Because even one now that's 4 years old is outdated. But the one that I have now is still kind of a good size. I'd say it's maybe the size of a little bit smaller than my laptop, maybe. And I have a little backpack to bring it with me if I do travel. I do bring it now. If I'm not going on a plane, I'll bring it. If I'm driving, I'll bring it with me. Or if I was going to go on a cruise, I would bring it with me. But I don't bring it on an airplane because it's an extra bag to check or an extra thing I got to shove up in the overhead. So, but the ones that they really, they have a variety of them now. And it all depends on, you know, what your insurance will cover or what you want to pay for out of pocket. But you can get ones that are basically like an iPad. Like that thin and that size. You can also get travel ones that are even smaller that will just fit in your suitcase. So it's really changed. The technology has really changed. You don't have to wear a full face. If you don't want to, you can wear just the nasal pillow ones. But I prefer the full face because I snore. And the full face would cover my mouth and it allows me to not get, you know, I have a humidifier on it so I don't get dried throat, which would be horrible if I woke up with a dry throat because within an hour and a half of waking up, I got to be behind the microphone and talking. So I like having the humidifier option. That's why I have the full face. But I don't know. I could take that test in November when I have my next appointment and could turn out that I don't have it anymore. Sometimes I will sleep without it just to kind of see how I feel when I wake up, especially on a weekend where it doesn't matter how I feel when I wake up, just to see if I feel okay without it. And I'm usually okay. I just have the dry throat. But I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's not a problem for me. I'm not discomforted by it. And I think if you think you might have issues, you should definitely book a sleep study. I've got to take a break, though. Before I take that break, you know, sounds like I'm giving medical advice here. I'm not a doctor. I'm just suggesting that you take care of your health. The one thing that I will give advice on, though, is when it comes to fried chicken. That I feel qualified to speak professionally about. And the best fried chicken in New Bedford, hands down, is at Crispy Crunchy Chicken at Gas Express in New Bedford at the corner of Tarkin Hill Road and Belleville Avenue. Crispy Crunchy Chicken is not greasy. It's juicy. It's lightly seasoned with Cajun spices. It's not dried out, and it is meaty. You go in there and you get some Crispy Crunchy Chicken, you are going to be full, especially if you get those tenders, those huge tenders that they have. I'm serious. I get a two-piece tenders, you know, a two-piece crunch box, with a side, usually the potato wedges or the macaroni and cheese, maybe the jambalaya, and then the biscuit, and that's it. I am full for hours, and it cost me under $10. You can save money. You go to these other chicken places, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg to get a chicken meal out of there. Crispy Crunchy Chicken is cheaper and better. So you can get the 2, 3, 4-piece crunch box, whatever you want. You can get family meals. Just if you're going to get a family meal, call ahead so they can have it prepared for you, because they prepare it all in small batches so it doesn't sit under the warmer and dry out. So find out why everybody is buzzing about the best chicken in New Bedford, Crispy Crunchy Chicken at Gas Express at the corner of Belleville Avenue and Tarkin Hill Road in New Bedford. You try it, you get back to me, and you tell me if I'm not right, that it is the best chicken in New Bedford. Crispy, crunchy chicken. All right, we'll be right back. And I want to thank Happy62 via App Chat for sending in some information there that I was unaware of, that you don't have to count your CPAP as a carry-on if you bring it onto an airline, onto an airplane. So you can bring it with you and still have another carry-on bag to put up there, because it's medical equipment. And that you should carry it on. You should not check it because of the sensitive nature of the equipment. And I also just was reading up, too, that a lot of the airlines will allow you to use your CPAP on the plane if you plan on sleeping. You can use your CPAP. However, most of them don't offer electrical outlets, so you'll have to bring your own power supply for it. But that you can actually use them in flight. I don't sleep on the plane. And if I do, I doze off and I snore. Nah, that's everybody else's fault for sitting on a plane with me, not mine. Anyway, I got to take one more break. We'll be back in a few moments. Going to do it for this hour. When we come back in the next hour, we're going to be joined briefly by Dr. Sabina Stanley. We're going to talk about her new book, What's Hidden Inside Planets. We're going to find out if life on Earth